The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cord, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days." But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and the children may come forward for a children's sermon. Good morning. How are you? Good. I see lots of new haircuts. They all look nice. I got a question for you. What's the biggest or tallest thing you've ever built? Whether with blocks or sticks or snow or anything else, what's the biggest or tallest thing you've ever built? Yeah. A treehouse. How big was it? Wow, that sounds really big. Could you like fit inside it and everything? Not fully done with it? So it's still being built, right? Sometimes it takes so long you kind of give up on it, right? Yeah? Yeah. An igloo, how big was that? Pretty tall. Could you fit inside? That sounds big. That sounds real big. What's the tallest thing any of you have built? One time, me and Luke built a tower, and it was so tall, it was taller than me. And you know what you do with every good tower? Knock it down. That's right. And that kind of has to do with what we're talking about today. Jesus started talking about the temple, the big place where they went to worship, and that temple had been built for 46 years. That's older than some of your parents. 46 years it took them to build the temple, and they still weren't done. Imagine someone coming and saying that they're going to quite possibly tear down what took you 46 years to build. I know Luke is super cool, but can you look at my nose right here? 46 years to tear it down, right? Ultimately, Jesus wasn't actually saying that he's going to tear down the temple, but he was saying the temple's not what's most important. The things we build are very important, but not most important. Because whenever we build, whether it's an igloo or a treehouse, or a real tall tower to knock down. Whatever we build for people. People's what's important. The love that we share with one another is what's important. How we treat one another is what's important. Even when we heard the Ten Commandments in the first lesson today, there's 3 commandments about how we treat God, and there's 7 commandments about how we treat people around us. People with God is what's most important. The love we share. So this week, yeah. Yeah? That's awesome. That's amazing. I'll bet he'll love that. I really do. This week, I want you to pay attention to how you're treating people, the people in the world around you, and how people are treating you. And whatever it is, you can tell we're wrapping up, can't he? Whatever it is, I want you to know that the things and the things we build are important, but the people, God's people, are the center. Make sure that you're loving people. Make sure you're caring for people. Make sure you're treating people well. Does that make sense? Let us pray. Gracious God, we're so thankful. We're thankful for all the ways you do help us build beautiful and wonderful things. Tall towers, igloos, tree houses, and everything else. Help us, no matter how long it takes us to build something, to always remember that we build, that we work, that we live, to love the people around us and to love you. Thank you for being a God of this love, and thank you for helping us. Remember this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for being here. You can go back to your seats. In the name of Jesus, amen. We have some really great builders amongst us. And so when we say it takes 46 years to complete something, we know that there's no small task, bit detail. I just thought it was them saying like, hey, it takes a long time to build, you can't do it in 3 days. And I think that's there. But I also think it's an indication of the type of thing Jesus is talking about. Because when Jesus begins to talk about the things that take 46 years to build, or even more, I think Jesus is starting to talk about the things that are most important to us, the things that we spent the most amount of time putting our effort into. After all, the temple was something that the Jews had put their money into building after Rome took their taxes, and after the people that occupied them took their land, and after everything had been already done, then they finally got to say, this is what's important to us, and they put their money and their time and their effort into building that for 46 years, and it still wasn't done. It was still under construction. It had been under construction for a lot longer than that, but as we know, everything that's built over the course of time needs repair and replace and all kinds of shoring up to make sure that it continues to stand. And for 46 years, they've been doing that. And think about 46 years in that time. 46 years brings you to a good late middle age, if not old age, at that point. You can live a lot longer, sure, but it wasn't the norm. We're talking of generations of people having had a hand in building this, generations of people having had a hand in creating this. Some people could have walked up to that building and said, there's where my grandfather built, there's where my father built, here's where I built. And time again, the generation had poured their time into this place because they wanted it to be good enough, right enough, holy enough to be the temple of the living God in their midst. They were building something that was the foundation of their faith, of their community, of their culture, of their lives. And so when Jesus shows up, makes a whip of cords, drives everything out, and says, destroy this place, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again, even if Jesus isn't about to actually destroy the temple, they understand that Jesus is talking about the core of their lives. Jesus is no longer walking around hoping that people do one nice thing per day. Jesus is no longer walking around hoping that people might do something kind of to follow the kingdom of God. Jesus is talking about Where is our centermost effort going? I want to talk about that. And their centermost effort had been going in a couple of directions. One was beautiful, to try to create a temple that matched the old days, the first days when the covenant was given after God's people had wandered through the wilderness, after God's people had been led out of exile, wandered the wilderness again, led back into the promised land, had gone through the time of judges, had gone through the first few kings, and then built the first temple at the height of their power. They were trying to recreate that moment. And while they couldn't create that moment in its entirety, they wanted to build something at the center of their lives that reminded them of the greatness of the call that God had for them, the greatness of the promise God had for them. That's beautiful. The things we build are important in this way because they will show where our importance lies. When we build churches or we build homes or we build hospitals or we build schools or whatever we build things of importance. We build things we care about. We build things because we have goals and we have centers. We build to reflect that. That's a good thing. But that wasn't the only thing that they did with those efforts. They also slowly let seep into those efforts money changers and people selling doves and people selling cattle and people selling sheep. The original reason those were there is because if you went to the temple and you didn't have those things and you wanted to make a sacrifice, you could do those. It's kind of hard to walk 60 miles from one town to Jerusalem and sacrifice a dove and hold the dove the whole time, right? And so instead of doing that, you could buy a dove once you got there. But the thing is that just like every stadium you've ever been to where the price of a bottled water is $7 all of a sudden, they started to realize they could make a profit off of people's faith. They could make way more money selling folks doves and cattle and sheep at a higher and higher and higher price. And putting any kind of barrier, whether it's financial, whether it's ethical, whether it's anything, any kind of barrier between God and God's people is not what God had in mind. Note that Jesus did come and drive out the money changers and everybody else. Jesus did not come and actually destroy the building. Jesus did come and drive out the part that wasn't in line with what God had in store for them. It is good to build a place for the holy things, but the holy things are not the building itself. The holy things are not the sacrifices themselves. The holy things are the people themselves. The people. The people God loved and the people that God came for. The reason we call Jesus the Lamb of God is because God freely gave God's own self to sacrifice for us. There was no money to be exchanged. There was no overpaying to be had. Before we even thought of doing this, God said, I'll pay it. I'll do it. Because God wants no barrier to stand in the way of God and God's people. Far be it from money changers or sellers or anybody else. And just in case that wasn't enough, God is a God who flows through every part of this world, not just the temple in Jerusalem. God is a God who flows into every place, into every home. God is a God who baptizes with every drop of water that ever hit us. God is a God that cares for us no matter who we are, where we are, how we are. And God is a God that loves us. The holy things of God are the people of God. That is what the Lamb of God came to die for. No building, no action, no sacrifice, but people. And so we have a beautiful opportunity. We have a beautiful opportunity, as every generation ever has, to build things and to fill them in good ways. to build beautiful things at the center of what our goals are, to create again and again moments and places and things that point us to the holiness of the love we share with one another. What are the ways that we can build that points us to forgiveness for one another? What are the ways we create that point us to love for one another? What are the ways that we bring together people with the ways that we are in our lives? People from our past built and gifted us a beautiful place that we sit in today. This part of the building was built in 1881, by the way. The sanctuary went through a renovation in the early 1900s. There used to be a giant kerosene lamp in the center. There was two aisles coming down the sides, and the place was heated from a giant fireplace down below. Many people, you all know that the organ used to be over here, and now it's over there, and there was a great amount of progress that got put into it. These paintings were put in 1940s-ish and were dedicated shortly thereafter. So much of this place has been created again and again, trying to build a place with every item that's in it to point us to the love that God has for us and the love that we can share with one another. We all sit facing Jesus off to the side with a group of people. We all sit facing an altar that we don't sacrifice at, but that God gives us, God's own self breaking and pouring for us. We all sit hearing in our ears music that sings about the love of God and the journey we share together. We sit in a beautiful place. Just as we have sat in many beautiful places, each aimed at sharing the love of God with us and for all people. We have the opportunity to be a new generation, the next generation, the former generation and the young coming together to build, to create, to express this central truth, love. Love for each other, love for God. Whatever you find yourself building or creating this week, whether it's from the daily dinner to the largest building, God be with you in love. God be with you letting you know that you are loved. God be with you letting you know the world around you is love. God be with you letting you know that God is love. And in all of this love, may our every creation point us again to one another and to God. Amen.